the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Come and let the members of Congress know that all of the messages that came out in August...
The president campaigned repeatedly up there. Joe Biden went up there repeatedly.
Mr. President, the New York Times is looking at you and your dual role as investor and advocate.
Well, I think it's a very good night tonight for the party here in Virginia, and certainly...
Where's my retarded baby?
Burn in hell.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. This is the groundbreaking Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL every night here until 1 o'clock at the El Pacifico and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. As we go through the looking glass like Alice in Wonderland of talk radio and reality in general. Joining me this hour will be Harvey Wireman. He's an attorney at law, retired, is a former attorney for the ACLU. He's a retired United States Marine. And by that, I mean he's a World War II veteran. He's going to be talking with us, though, not about any of that. Actually, well, he'll be talking in his capacity as an attorney. We're going to be discussing tasers, the use of tasers by cops, particularly the use of tasers by cops against the elderly. Although we have two taser stories recently, one in Minneapolis, the tasing of an 18-year-old, and another story in Alaska, the tasing of an 81-year-old man. And when was this? This was last week, a traffic stop in Fairbanks, Alaska. Last week. Let me tell you first, though, that you can contact us here on the show tonight at 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. And you can watch live streaming video of our show every night on our website, philhenryshow.com, as well as listen to the live streaming audio if you're not near any one of our affiliates. And the video is on demand the next day, so you can watch it the next day if you'd like. You can also download the audio to our show the next day. And we have all kinds of archives over there. We've got a list of great affiliates, so it's a great place to go, philhenryshow.com. And we're also at Twitter, twitter.com/philhenryshow. The stories here, and there was the story, of course, that we got into a very interesting discussion on the show, I thought, a few weeks ago about the 72-year-old lady who was tasered in... Texas, which was, you know, unfortunate, but nonetheless it happened, and that was the extent of that. Let me get Harvey Wireman on the line here from San Marino, California. Harvey, a retired attorney, and Harvey, good to speak with you this evening.
Well, I'm very grateful that you had me on this topic, Phil. Thank you.
And Harvey, you've worked both sides of the street. You were a DA at one time and a defense attorney, correct?
Well, a long time ago, I worked for the district attorney's office in Chicago before I came to California. Now I'm retired now, but I do consulting and I do some pro bono work.
And you were in the Marines?
Yes, I was. I was a born killer.
Okay.
As they say.
All right. So you've done it all, and I wanted to talk to you about this tasering. First of all, let's talk about this one story here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. This is a man, an 18-year-old man, backed by video footage. A Minneapolis man is now claiming that police used a taser against him after he surrendered and put his hands on the hood of a squad car. And his name is Rolando Demetrio Ruiz. He's filed a notice of claim alleging civil rights and other violations in the April 30th incident. Here is a dash cam audio of that tasing. Wow.
It's pretty graphic.
Wow, that's brutal to hear, isn't it?
Well, it's not a pleasant thing to have done to you, but that's unfortunately the byproduct of the use of those things.
And now we have last week an 81-year-old, we don't have audio on this, and maybe I'm grateful for that, an 81-year-old man was tasered during a traffic stop last week. It's the second time since 1998 that police have had to make a show of force during a traffic stop to arrest Glenn M. Wilcox, a Fairbanks-based Episcopalian priest and real estate agent. Court documents allege that officers with Ellison Air Force Base, these were, Air Force police, military police for the Air Force, the 354th Security Forces Squadron pulled Wilcox over just after 1 p.m. Wednesday for going 11 miles over the speed limit on the Richardson Highway, and they used the taser. And then there's the story of this lady in Texas, and we'll run this one more time for people who may not know what we're talking about. This woman in Texas who was tased back in the spring when she refused to meet the demands of this police officer.
Put your hands on your back. Put your hands behind your back.
I'm getting back in my car.
You're going to be saved. Stop.
I'm getting back in my car.
No, ma'am. Jesus, get on the ground. Get on the ground. Now put your hands on your back. Put your hands on your back. You're going to be saved again. Number 17, I've got one page. Put your hands behind your back. Put your hands behind your back. Get your hands behind your back.
So that I guess we pretty much the extent of that, Harvey. So those are just three distinct taser cases, and I know you've worked a couple of them, and I wanted to get your feelings on this, because this is, in the case of this 18-year-old in Minneapolis, he wants to bring a claim against the police, and this woman in Texas also sued, although I don't think she collected quite as much as she thought she would. What is your feeling on the, on particularly the elderly, and this 81-year-old man, this 72-year-old man, the use of this kind of force against those people?
Well, yeah, I'm glad, first of all, Phil, that you differentiated between the young man in Minneapolis and the case of that young man. I think the police have an awful lot to answer for. Here's a young man. He's, if I got you right, he's Hispanic, correct?
The name does seem to indicate that, yeah.
All right. He's a man of color. He's a minority, and the police in some cities, and I'd have to look into Minneapolis, but I'm pretty sure in Minneapolis they've got a spotty record at best dealing with the people of color, particularly native people in that part of the country. And so I think the Minneapolis police is going to have some explaining to do. Now, let's move on to the other two cases, particularly the lady in Texas and this man in Fairbanks, Alaska. I know, as an attorney, and I don't think a lot of your listeners would disagree, that people reach a certain age in our society, and there is no real expectation on the part of that individual, nor is there any expectation on the part of the prosecutor, that they're going to be doing any real jail time for any offense that they've committed. More often than not, the elderly in our society will commit some kind of a felony, and that is to say a serious crime, and are generally given a probation, a house arrest, or some other consideration based upon their age. I don't think it's right, personally. I think that every human being in our society, if they are found guilty, should definitely be the recipient of what the law demands. When I hear that woman being tased, I know what she's thinking. I know what all of the senior citizens in our country think. Well, I'm not really going to go to jail. I'm not really going to get a ticket because they're going to feel sorry for me because I'm old. And it is in that instant when I think the police officer, the arresting officer, should have some latitude in terms of how he deals with her, because he knows, you know, I know, all of your listeners know, she's never going to see any real jail time. And the latitude there that I think the arresting officer was correct in seizing was to, you know, give her a taste of the trouble that she put him through and the trouble she's going to put the courts through.
Well, are you saying that it was all right for him to tase her?
First of all, I listened to that tape very carefully. It's very questionable whether she was really suffering or whether she was play-acting for the benefit of the tape recorder, because everybody knows that the police have these recording devices. Very, very suspicious that old woman was in any pain at all. Secondly, if she was in pain, I don't see anything wrong with a police officer knowing that they're going to give her a slap on the wrist and let her go home with her daughter or whoever it is she lives with. And meanwhile, the rest of us in society have got to, if you'll pardon my French, have got to suck on it. At that moment, I think that officer made the right decision, knowing she was going to get up.
Well, wait. Well, Harvey, if you don't mind me interrupting.
Go ahead.
That's not his job to dish out punishment. He's an arresting officer.
No, I know it's not his job. What I'm saying is, I think it's perfectly understandable that if this old lady or some old man who knows that they're not going to go to jail for anything, if a police officer lets the taser go on them, and as they say in the police business, and they ride the lightning or they do the electric slide or however you want to put it, or take a walk down to Electric Avenue, you know,
Billy Ocean?
Yeah, the Billy Ocean song.
Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean. Let's go down to Electric Avenue. Well, that's what a police officer says when he decides that he's had enough of some old woman who is going to walk scot-free.
Yeah, but you haven't answered my question. My question is, that is not his job. His job as a police officer is to write the citation, but not to dole out punishment.
No, that's not necessarily true. You can, as a police officer, be given the latitude that the old woman has given you enough guff, and you know that you've wasted all kinds of paperwork, and you're going to give her a taste of what she's been giving you. What he gave her is no worse than what she was giving him. No worse at all. In fact, he probably had it worse.
Well, come on. She was talking rude to him. She was not following orders.
Yeah, she was not following what the officer was directing her to do. And at that moment, there is in the law books, there's something called enforcement rage.
No, wait. You're going
to... Hold on for a minute. Are you the lawyer?
No, I'm not the lawyer.
Well, let me talk. When you push a cop so far, and just the mere existence of an old lady getting out of a car in a traffic stop, that already has pushed that officer to the limit.
Why?
Because when he sees the old woman, he knows she will not have to do any punishment at all. So that already provokes our police officers beyond what anything they should be allowed to be provoked to. So the provocation is on the part of that old woman looking at him, and he has to realize that she's not going to be punished. The hand goes to the taser, and she is basically giving him carte blanche to issue summary punishment because she opened her mouth. You know, you don't understand what I'm saying.
No, I understand what you're saying. So the existence of an elderly person in a traffic stop is already provoking the officer.
Yes.
Why?
I just got done telling you because of the fact...
Because he knows that they're not going to be punished because they're old.
Yes. You remember the guy in Santa Monica, the old man that killed 8 people at the farmer's market because his foot stuck to the throttle? You remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, what do you think? They slapped him on the wrist and they sent him home with his daughter or something. 8 people dead, and he goes home to have to sit in an easy boy and watch bowling. Well, the same thing is true of that old woman, and when that officer took a look at what was waiting for him in that car, he knew that there was no judge that was going to give him any peace. He had to do it himself.
All right, we're going to come back and discuss this a little bit more. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, about the tasering incidents. What's this, bud?
You want to just see this?
Harvey wrote it, bottom line, police officers should taser the elderly, and I think your listeners would agree that it's a policy that every station in the country should put into place. Really? All right, 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with more from Harvey Wireman and these taserings going on around the country by police officers of the elderly. Most recently, last week, an 81-year-old man in Fairbanks, Alaska. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
With Harvey Wireman, attorney at law, as we talk about the police tasering of a couple of elderly people. You know the one, the 72-year-old woman in Texas. Last week in Fairbanks, Alaska, police officers with the Air Force police, military police attached to the Air Force at Eielson Air Base, part of the 354 security forces pulled over a car, I guess, that was either on Air Force property or was within their jurisdiction somehow, and tasered an 81-year-old man. And I want to get back to you, Harvey, with your comments, and then we have phone calls to take. I want to know the legal justification for a police officer tasering someone who simply because they're elderly.
They're not tasering them because they're elderly. They're not doing that.
Well, that's, you said as soon as he looks and sees an elderly person.
When a police officer sees... Let me explain something to you. When a police officer sees an old lady sitting in a car, he's already on guard, because if she gives him any lip, he knows he's going to have to arrest her, otherwise cite her, and she's not going to get punished. Why? Because she's old, and they don't send old people to jail. So he has been put in an untenably provocative situation by the system. And the police officers that I've defended, and keep in mind, I work for the ACLU, so I'm not what you'd call a conservative, but I do believe, and let me tell you something, I said to the judge, you put a police officer in a situation of looking at some old lady, that taser's halfway out of its holster.
Why? Because she's old?
I just told you, because the woman, by virtue of the fact that that old lady is sitting there staring at him, it's already pushing him. He knows that she's not going to get... And when you put a police officer in that situation, you better expect that you're taking a stroll down to Electric Avenue. And whether it's Billy Olson or Billy Ocean or Mary Kay or Olson or however you say it, that's where you're going.
So you can defend a police officer in front of a judge...
I have.
You have?
Yes, I have.
By saying... That officer is already provoked because it's an old person and they're not going to go to jail.
That's right. And the police officer is already going to be thinking, well, then you want to know something? I think maybe we'll get a little bit of street justice going here.
Well, yeah, my hat's off to you if what you say is true.
What do you mean if what I say is true?
Well, the fact that you were able to sell that to a jury or to a judge. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call. Roy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wireman this evening. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on the tasering of the old woman. Our officers are trained to defuse situations with as less force as possible. It's totally off base to say that the officer had a right to tase a woman just because she was being belligerent. Given the fact she did exit her vehicle and approach the officer, she is an elderly woman. The officer is probably half her age. Physically stronger than her by far, and could have defused the situation either verbally or escorted the woman back to her vehicle by her arm and explained to her that she was overstepping her bounds to just tase her. And for this gentleman lawyer say that he thinks it's okay for the officer to do such a thing or to be within his rights to already be on his guard and ready to tase an elderly person just because he believes they're not going to get any punishment is way off base.
Well, you know something, what you didn't know about this case is that as soon as she got out of her car, sir, and I forget what's this man's name.
His name is Roy.
Roy, as soon as she got out of the car, her mouth was already going. So in other words, what she had in her mind was, I'm old, there's nothing he can do, and on top of that, I think I'll just keep gum flapping and really piss him off. That officer was provoked,
and first off, I don't know if you're a police officer,
he had no choice but to say, I got to get some street justice going on this old bag, excuse my language, because I know the judge is going to kiss her on both cheeks and pat her on the rear end and send her home with her son-in-law or whoever she's talked into letting her live with them, and that officer already knows that he's got no shot at seeing her, you know, sweated. So
what do you mean sweated, man? What are you going to sweat an old lady?
They're not putting her in jail. You know that as well as I do, and she knows it. That's why her mouth is going.
First off, she didn't get out of her car, I'm absolutely positive, thinking that, I'm not going to go to jail, so I'm going to let this guy have some crap.
You're absolutely positive? I'm 79 years old.
For you to think that you can read this woman's mind and feed that to somebody and have them believe it,
These old people are getting away with murder. Murder.
Just because you have a lot of money doesn't mean you can read people's minds and
But I do know about motivation.
You have no idea what this woman was thinking, and you're way out of line.
I can assure you. I can assure you, sir, that old lady was thinking, look at this. I got this dumb, stupid cop right where I want him.
Oh, brother. All right, thank you, sir, for your call. 877-876-BILL. We'll be right back with more of your phone calls and Harvey Weierman. World famous Phil Henry Show. Harvey, what is this?
Yeah, this is the song I got
Bud Dickman?
Yeah, but this is a song called Electric Avenue. Now, this is a song. This is what the cops call chasing some old woman, you know. Yeah, you hear that?
I know this song, yeah. What has this got to do with tasing?
It's called Electric Avenue. And that's where you. That's what they call. But listen to this. See, right here. Look at this. Right here. Right down to Electric Avenue. You see that?
Is this a song that police listen to?
Yeah, they listen to this. This is the language that cops talk. And when I hear this song, I can see, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be, what do you call it? Morbid, but I can see the old woman writhing on the asphalt because she wouldn't shut up.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, I'm telling you the truth. Electric. Yeah, there you go. So in other words, if you're an elderly woman and you thought you were going to give a cop lip and then take your groceries home and tell everybody how great you were, guess what? Oh, no.
I don't know if that's a song the police listen to.
A lot of cops have it in the radio car, yeah.
Well, I think that's sadistic. If I was the watch commander or whoever the guy is, I wouldn't have them listening to that in their cars.
Well, I guess you're not the watch commander now, are you? So I guess that's something you don't get to, you know, you don't get to talk about. But I can tell you that this is what our police officers are up against. When an old woman thinks that she's above the law and is going to provoke a cop to the point where he has no choice but to drop her.
877-876-PHIL. I would think that our police would have far more control and not take things quite so personally. Let's go over to Gus on the Phil Henry Show. Gus, you're on with Harvey Weierman. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Well, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes. My comments is this. First of all, they're supposed to protect the individual and let justice handle the matters. Nobody's supposed to take justice in their own hands. And secondly, we have a far better police force than what he is describing there. This gentleman there.
My name is Harvey Weierman, sir, and I'm an attorney. And I know our police are good, but let me ask you this. Who protects our police? When they see an old woman who is going to get away with cold-blooded murder, and they know that no one is going to... You're saying that they don't have the right to at least watch her dance a little bit.
Since you
given what they're
cold-blooded murder, she didn't do anything. Yeah. She just had an alligator mouth and a mosquito body. That's what she did.
You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. No, I don't.
She could have shot that police officer, and they still wouldn't have given her jail because she's old.
She didn't?
Well.
Yeah, and she's not.
And how does she know that he wasn't going to...
Can we turn that off, please?
If she wasn't on some kind of medication, how do you know if something else was wrong? How do you know you weren't there?
And that's a good point.
The officer didn't handle the situation. He just let it get out of control.
I thought he contained his temper. I thought he controlled his temper much better than I thought he would.
There was no temper there. You can't lose your temper over somebody having a big mouth. Can you imagine
the old lady,
how many people have a big mouth? If somebody said to you, they don't agree with you, they're not going to haze you, are they?
If someone said to you, go ahead and hit me with that baseball bat, you know sooner or later you're going to do that. That's what that old lady did.
How did she do that?
She did it by being pulled over and giving him lip. That's how she did it. You might as well have hit him with a bat.
Why? Because she's an old person?
Yes. Because she's not going to go to jail. And that officer is now facing the... Are you talking to somebody else?
No.
All right.
No, I'm talking to you. First of all,
if a citizen would take
the charges to the grand jury and would get the prosecutor to follow through or get the federal prosecutor to follow through, if that had happened here, I would have done that. I would have gone down there and spoke out and said, what, that officer needs to be
I agree with Gus. I agree with Gus. You're not making any sense. Because would you turn that song off?
Why can't he play Electric Avenue? Because that's what the cops are up against.
I don't want to hear it because I can't think. The fact is that what Gus is saying is true. How can you justify a cop? The police officers are not trained to punish. The police officers...
I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm saying that there were extenuating circumstances that forgive him for what he's doing.
The individual that committed the crime... Why don't you think like that guy that they caught with the bodies in his yard or something?
Oh,
How come somebody won't shoot him? Because they're going to have to protect him. Well, you're using that lady.
No. You know that guy's going to go to prison. No, you know that guy's going to go to prison. You know that guy's going to ride the lightning. But I'm talking about an old lady. If they found 10 bodies in that lady's house, she would have walked. She would have walked, I guarantee.
Oh, no, I don't. See, I don't agree with that.
Oh, you're telling me I'm a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm telling you. An old lady, they find 10. What about that old bag? You remember the old lady up in Sacramento? They found 10 bodies in her yard. Where's she?
Oh, she's cooling that over the minimum security.
You keep saying you're a lawyer. You keep saying you're a lawyer. You must have been a traffic ticket lawyer because you probably lost every case in every traffic ticket you had.
There's no such thing as a traffic ticket lawyer. You just go. You don't. There's no such thing. You just go in and pay your ticket.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL on the world famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to go to James here in Mississippi. James, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Very good, sir.
That Electric Avenue, though, that's a hell of a song.
Yes, sir.
The attorney that you have on.
Actually, I've got, yes, James, right.
Does he have a mother that's alive?
I'm 79 years old. Three guesses. The first two don't count.
Answer the man's question respectfully.
No, sir. My mother died in 1958.
Okay. Now, I have a mother that's 92 years old. I'm not going to get into an argument with you. We're going to go over this thing easy. I'm 62. She's 30 years older than I. No.
Well, I'm 79, so I'm...
You got me a couple.
Yeah. You ever heard this song, Electric Avenue?
The thing that...
Will you turn that off, please?
Mr. Wireman wanted me to...
Turn it off, please. Thank you.
What I'm trying to say is...
I tell you, that's a bad jam, though, isn't it?
I love
policemen, officers, as you will call them, are supposed to have some type of training to distinguish angry person. Yes. Hold on.
Right.
An angry
from a dangerous person. From a dangerous person.
Yeah, a dangerous person from someone that's not going to do bodily harm or physical harm to them.
That's just
all right.
The old lady was going to do physical harm to the system. She was going to walk after speeding or whatever it was.
Yep.
Well,
the
that's
thing
not
of
physical.
It is,
that's
he. You know how many volts that taser gun has in it?
It's not going to hurt. You heard that old lady? She got up and started giving him lip. That's the part you didn't hear on the tape. She got down on the ground and started wailing, and then when she knew the tape was off, she got up and started calling him every name in the book.
You don't know that for a fact at all. You don't know that.
The thing is, attorney, that's been a couple of years ago.
Have you ever ridden the lightning? No, you haven't.
I saw the tape. I saw the film.
You but as a lawyer, I'm supposed to be tased.
For many
they
days.
Have to tase me. If
they tase you, if you got a bad heart problem, you might go into cardiac arrest.
That's what they tell you. That's what the old lady says, so that she can get your sympathy.
Yeah, but did she point a weapon? Did she point a weapon at that police officer?
Yes. She opened her fat mouth, and as an elderly person, that's a weapon. Because what yes, it is. Because what she's doing is saying, ha ha, you can't send me to jail. And that is going to anger any police officer. That is justifiable. It's not justifiable, but it's a provocation. And all he can see is electricity in his mind. He can just see her bopping up and down off the asphalt, almost as if she's in a box of top or something like that.
No, wait a minute now.
Well, you know,
you're an attorney, right?
You are a lawyer. And I think that this is a ridiculous. But I listen. I you made a very, very good point there, James. I got to move on here. 877-876 Phil. Let's go to Mike. Mike is in Queens, New York. Mike, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Harvey Wyman. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Hi. How are
you? What happened to the other caller?
Apparently, doesn't appreciate that many times the police the average citizen like criminals before they even have proven that they're criminals. And what that translates into in New York City is that sometimes policemen act like thugs more than the thugs themselves, because what right do you have to treat an average citizen like a criminal and to tase them or use a taser gun on them?
Well, you do in certain instances when they're old.
Wait a minute. Let me
when
say,
old,
they haven't been proven
when
to be
old
a criminal, and you're treating
right,
them
the
like
old lady's
criminal.
Gonna walk.
There's no reason
but
to do that.
You're
you
saying,
treat
Harvey, you're saying an old lady.
Like he's a criminal. You must treat the citizens like they're regular citizens. You cannot be...
What? And then he hung up. I've never had anybody hang up a phone on me that I wasn't able to get to them and get to them right away with...
Dealing in multiplication.
Electric Avenue. And I can tell you...
Will you knock it off with that song, bud? Get out of here with that.
Mr. Wireman ordered it special.
He ordered it special.
I called in before the show, and I said to Dickman, have that song ready, because I got a feeling I'm going to need it. And I have needed it, because there's not one of these people listening to your program tonight, Mr. Hendry, that understands what I'm trying to say. Our police officers are being provoked beyond any reasonable constraint. When they see an elderly person in a car, they know that person, like your average mafioso, in the times before, you know, way back.
I know. The mafia used to walk.
Yeah, the mafia used to walk. Well, guess who's walking now? Old ladies. Old ladies who can look at the cop and go, I'm not going to get in jail. And so what does our officer think? With his blood at a boiling point, with his emotions out of control, with the sight of an automobile accident that he saw a half hour before dancing in his mind, with maybe a dead body dancing in his mind, all he can think of, ride the lightning, you hag. I'm sorry I have to put it that way, Phil.
But what are you addressing a jury now?
Maybe I am addressing a jury, because this is something we have to let people know. Old people need to be tased like everybody else. Until they get the message, here comes the pain, just like everyone else. You're no different.
All right, 877-877-877-Phil, 877-876-Phil. Let's take a phone call here in North Carolina. Cal, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Cal, how are you? Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Sorry to take up so much time.
Yes, sir, I can hear you very well. Thank you. Yes,
See, the more I listen to this thing, the more I learn about it. First of all, just listening to the conversation, I'm not on criminal statistics or anything, but listening to the side of the story portrayed by this lawyer indicates that 99% of the crime is perpetrated by old people rather than young people.
No, you're not listening very well. I didn't say that, sir. I just said that when an old person commits a crime, they do not get punished. Because they're old and the judge is afraid to see them rot in jail. So they get to walk out with their son or their daughter or the caretaker or whatever, whoever's, taking care of them.
Yeah, well, I guess...
Yeah, but you're taking that to mean You're taking that to mean because a cop knows that, it's okay to dish out justice.
I didn't say it was okay to dish out justice. I said that the officer's now being provoked.
Yeah. All right. I guess it's all in a matter of wearing that uniform. You're going to perceive reality somewhat differently from the person walking on the street. I'm sure that cop perceives this old person as somewhat of a threat. But the average law-abiding citizen on the street does not perceive a 78-year-old lady as a threat to society. I mean, that might consider her a threat, but
but the average person on the street doesn't have to deal with that old lady the way a cop does. The cop's got to deal with it. And when it starts talking and yapping, the cop knows, well, I've told you the story. She goes in front of the judge, she walks, and she might have run over somebody, run them over and flatten them like a buttermilk pancake. And she walks the next day. The cop knows that, and he realizes this is the only chance anybody's going to get to punish her. I think I'll dish out a little bit of Electric Avenue. Yeah, well, you laugh if you want, sir. But
turn the music off. No wonder the guy's laughing. All right, sir, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. Thank you, sir. That was Cal. The world-famous Phil Henry Show with Harvey Wireman as we talk about the tasering of elderly people and Mr. Wireman's point of position being that because elderly people never go to jail for anything, that a cop is actually dishing out the only punishment they're going to get for their crime, and therefore it's okay.
No, wrong again. You blew it again. You blew it.
Well, I got to go to a commercial, okay?
You go ahead and go to the commercial. You blew it.
In other words, what?
In other words, I already said he was provoked beyond honor.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What?
What I said was... That ain't Electric Avenue. What is that?
It's the Phil Henry Show.
When you play that song, you know,
what?
It sounds like the cops enjoy using their tasers.
I never made that statement, Mr. Henry.
When you play that song, Electric Avenue, by the singer, it sounds as if you're making the point that the police enjoy using their tasers. And I don't think that's the point that you want to make at all. Let's go over to Jim in Pennsylvania. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Harvey Wireman and Phil Henry. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I just wanted to comment that, you know, I had to actually turn the radio station off for a little while just to clear my head, because I look at this whole picture here, and I listen to what this gentleman is saying, and he's making a mockery out of the Constitution in the United States. You know, people have rights.
I'm an attorney,
regardless of whether he's an attorney or not.
The police who are up against it. The police
now,
are
Harry,
up against
had
it.
You had your chance to talk, but to justify the use of excessive force on any person, whether they're elderly
you don't know
or
what
not,
excessive is.
And there was a gentleman earlier that alluded to the fact that police officers are trained to use restraint and as less force as possible to restrain a situation.
Yes,
Now, that's not exactly true. And I will testify to that as a former military policeman, that is certainly the case. Now,
I was a Marine.
You know,
I was a Marine, and I ran up against you guys in the shore patrol, and let me tell you guys used excessive force. Don't give me that baloney. You guys beat the hell out of a lot of Marines down in Tijuana. You think that's funny? I saw it happen, my friend. I was a military police officer. That's a laugh.
Harvey, you know what? Don't disrespect the guy. Nobody's disrespecting you.
The fact that you can trounce on the Constitution and just use excessive force whenever you deem a police officer feels insulted or for some reason in your mind has some right to be able to tase any person, whether they're elderly or not, is just
Can I ask you a question?
And quite honestly, it's to a point now where you have police officers who are engaging in high-speed pursuits, and actually, people are being killed because they're being pursued by officers that have gone beyond.
Beyond due process and caution.
You have a limitation and you have a responsibility to the public.
I just want to be clear. You used to beat up jarheads down at Tijuana, and that makes you a lawyer. Is that it? I just want to be clear.
He didn't say that at all.
No,
he never said that at all. He said it was a military police officer.
He used to take the stick to him. They love to beat up these. They love to beat up grunts.
You know what? Quite honestly, you know, I would not use excessive force.
I would turn that off.
Ever.
Mr. Wireman,
you know,
it's not excessive. It's not excessive.
And whatever your lawyer trains
you. An old lady, it's never excessive. Not when you tase an old lady, it's not excessive. It's appropriate.
Oh, my goodness. You know.
It is. It's appropriate, given the fact that she's never going.
The training you went through at Harvard or whatever law school you went to.
I wish.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
There are reports that Charlie Sheen could be leaving his hit show Two and a Half Men.
Any reasonable person looking critically at the evidence currently in the public domain.
These men are mimicking Jesus' walk to Calvary.
More than a million cases of chlamydia were recorded in the U.S. during 2006.
And that's just the way it is.
World famous Phil Henry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go wherever we gotta go to entertain you and to illustrate, you know, through the looking glass, this entire thing called talk radio, opinion, news. I guarantee you there is no other talk show on the air like this one, and there isn't a talk show on the air such as this one that has more of a devoted following. And it includes some pretty heavy people like Glenn Beck and Howard Stern. Anyway, the number 877-876-PHIL. How do you celebrate Good Friday? In the Philippines, you nail yourself to a cross. That and more coming up. Plus, your pilot can now fly while on antidepressants. That's good news as far as I'm concerned. 877-876-PHIL, our affiliate spotlight tonight. Greensboro, Winston, North Carolina, WSJS 600 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas, KDXE at 1380. We are very, very grateful to have both these great stations on our network, and we are also planning on welcoming aboard the cities of Buffalo, New York, Reno, Nevada, and Grand Forks, North Dakota. Coming up next week here on The Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Now, the story today. And I will tell you this, you know, it's a funny thing about health care and the Tea Party. All of these stories seem to, at times, like tributaries that will meet and join a river for a few miles and then sort of disperse again. That's kind of the way these news stories go. There's a very, very definite linkage between senior citizens, health care, obviously, and, you know, the Tea Party. Things like that. We're going to talk here in a moment with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police about seniors and this burgeoning number of them. One in four of our elderly will need care decisions made for them. Made for them. I don't know why I'm saying our elderly. I guess I'm one of them, man. I'm 57. I guess by the time all this stuff really starts heating up, I'm going to be one of these guys that'll be sitting in a chair and somebody's got to decide whether they should flush it or not, you know? How do you like that, man? Anyway, a significant number of the elderly, more than one in four, will eventually need someone to make end-of-life decisions about their medical care, according to a new study. The result illustrates the value of people making their wishes known in a living will and designating someone to make treatment decisions for them, according to this research. Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, you have a database?
Oh, that's correct, Phil.
And is this database something that contains a lot of names, right, and a lot of people? I mean, I can't even imagine how you begin to amass the names of senior citizens who may need these kinds of end-of-life decisions made for them.
Well, Phil, first of all,
Bill, thanks for having us back on your program tonight.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it. This is a decision that sometimes these families are too distraught to make. Families may not be around at the time to make these decisions. Families may not be able to find, we may not be able to find the families. What we've done at the Citizens Auxiliary Police is we have taken it upon ourselves, part of our senior database, to collect as much information as we can, to go out and to interview some of our seniors and find out what kind of end-of-life decision should be made for them. This is a very easy process. The difficult part is, as you said, you know, keeping a database, but we are able to put it into computers on hard disk. We have now legal pads, and I'm a little bit nervous tonight, Phil, because I just got...
No, you're doing a good job. Just tell me about, so what you're doing, if the elderly need these end-of-life decisions made, and what kind of end-of-life decisions are we talking about, Jay?
Right. What we're talking about is this person going to need assistance moving around? Are they going to be cognizant? Will this person, God forbid, is this person going to need decisions made in terms of life and death? What kind of nursing home will this person need? Are they going to? What kind of medical insurance? What kind of hospital equipment will they need in their own home if they're not in a hospital? And you do need power of attorney if the individual does not have the cognizance for these end-of-life decisions. So what we do is we go out into the malls, at a lot of places here in the South Bay and Southern California, and a lot of the other ones, citizens auxiliary groups like Gator Brigade, Beaver Battalion, New York Simulated Police, the West Texas Range Riders, and, these other groups that we're familiar with, we go out and take down the names and do an assessment right there.
Are you making appointments with senior citizens, or are you just knocking on doors?
In some instances, we'll just knock on doors. In other instances, we could be out in a public arena like a mall or a movie theater or in a supermarket or out in a department store, what have you, and we will assess the senior citizen, ask them their age up to a point, if they're capable of answering a question. And then we will assess and make that decision at that time. Where will they be 5 years from now?
All right, so the senior citizens you're talking to are not yet at risk, right?
No, they're not yet ready. But what we're doing is getting them ready, because at the time that they need to make this decision, they're not going to be, capable of doing that.
So give me a typical assessment that you will do so that these seniors will have this decision made for them and that their later life obviously is a little bit more comfortable.
Well, for instance, last Monday, we had a very kind of a difficult time because this gentleman was very talkative, he was very cognizant, he was very bright, but he was in a wheelchair. He was in a mobile hospital transport that was more of a flex kind of wheelchair. So I looked at him and I realized that he was someone who obviously has mental capacity, but he did not have physical capacity. That probably means that he will have to be in some kind of a psychiatric ward because of the fact that he talks a lot, but he's in a wheelchair. And there'll be some suspicion. So we went ahead and marked down on a chart, a mental facility or a psychiatric facility for him.
I don't understand that.
In what way?
What you're talking to an elderly man. Did you get his name?
Yes, we got his name. We got his basic statistics, his height, his weight. As far as he knew them.
And so you said because he was talkative, but he's in a wheelchair, that you think a psychiatric facility.
When he's older. We're not talking now, Phil. We're not talking now.
Yeah, but why when he's older?
Because of this very loquacious manner the man had. Very, very loquacious, very talkative, and yet he's in a he's incapacitated. He's almost tied in. The older you get, and the more you are communicative in this very loquacious, rapidly loquacious manner, and yet you have to be strapped into a chair, the idea around people around you are probably going to think that you're, if I'm going to use a term, a cuckoo or kind of kooky. Not that you are, okay? Not that you are. But we have to consider that.
So you're going to take a man who is perfectly healthy, just understand, Jay, a man who's talking and put him in a psychiatric facility.
Just for the moment. That's one of the options. The other option is that he's fine and can be left alone, although he needs to be checked on, obviously, because he doesn't have full locomotion. And that's where we have cameras set up at the doors, because someone in a wheelchair, Phil, is there's a 90% chance that an elderly person in a wheelchair is going to go down those steps, and that's, you know, show's over.
What do you mean show? You mean they're going to be, it could be fatal?
Absolutely, yeah. So we have to make that decision. There are a lot of these decisions. We talked to an elderly woman who was walking on a walker. She did not look well. We figure that she is most likely going to be a candidate for just determination if the doctor says you don't have any choice. You have to pull the plug. And so that's what we put on our chart.
But you don't know these people, and you don't really know if there's not going to be family around.
No, we don't, Phil.
So how are you going to make these decisions?
Well, we ask for the power of attorney only in end-of-life decisions. Got nothing to do with...
Power of attorney they're giving you.
Only in end-of-life decisions. Got nothing to do with their money. It has nothing to do with property. It only has to do with the disposition of the elderly person himself and whether that person can live on their own. Obviously, the older someone gets, the more they have to be in an assisted facility. Whether putting them in an assisted facility is worth it, or should they go directly into a mental institution or a psychiatric institution, or just be put, I don't want to use the word they use, put down or...
Well, that's the term they use for dogs.
Yeah, I guess...
Terminating the, you know, if they're so sick, someone has to make the decision to pull the plug.
That's correct, yes, sir. Now, we've used the term as shorthand, they're put down or they're put to sleep, but...
Well, that's a term that's used for the
veterinarian.
Exactly, yeah. All right, Jay Santos with us here on the Phil Hendry Show. These end-of-life decisions that the senior citizens are not capable of making, you guys at the Citizens Auxiliary Police are making them for these people. But they're total strangers.
Well, you say they're total strangers. Not after we're done talking to them, especially what if there is no family around? What if there is no person can make a decision like this? I'm not a doctor, but I can tell you this much, Phil. Look at all the money we've wasted on doctors trying to keep people from becoming more sick. We do have a database. We have computers. We've got a lot of computers, and that's where you keep records now. If you're familiar, records are kept on computers, and we do have computers.
Yeah, that's I understand that.
All right, and the other thing is that there's going to be a lot of senior citizens who are not going to be capable of making these end-of-life decisions still that they need to make. We have accepted this challenge at the Citizens Auxiliary Police. It's not something we want to do, but we will take it upon ourselves to record what those end-of-life decisions should be and make sure they get to the right people. And
well, now, when you say get to the right people, before we take a break, what do you mean by that?
Well, if the person goes into the hospital, we can go to the doctor and say, this is what the assessment is this person should have. You know, unfortunately, you know, have the plug, you know, take the plug out of the wall or not. Or put into some other facility that may be a hold facility or something with extra protection or security, double locked doors, that kind of thing.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our senior citizens who cannot make these decisions for themselves, end-of-life decisions, where are they going to be in the hospital? Who will pull the plug if you need to pull the plug? What kind of wheelchair are they going to have? And if there's no family around, who will make the decision? Mr. Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police, one of many groups, I guess, volunteering to do this. 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with Jay Santos and talk more about this in a moment.
Phil Hendry. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. And this is a rather involved conversation we're having here tonight with Jay Santos from the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, you guys are, so people know, you're not an official police force.
Yeah, Phil, you and I have had this conversation.
I know we've had the conversation, but I I feel that I need to have to get this out there.
This has got nothing to do with law enforcement. This is a public service that we are providing. We're doing this at our own cost, at our own expense. We're going to senior citizens, and we're finding out, assessing where they are going to eventually wind up.
Well, you're assessing senior citizens, and you're saying, well, this one here is going to have to be in assisted living. This one here is going to need a wheelchair. This one here will probably need the plug pulled, and I don't know how you do that, you know.
Well, Phil, I'm not saying this one's going to need the plug pulled. We were following an elderly woman who was in a grocery store down here in Torrance last weekend.
When you say you're following an elderly woman, what are you doing?
We are tracking her. We are watching her. Why the question?
Well, if I were her, I would feel a little intimidated.
This woman, I can assure you, I don't think she knew that. I don't know if she knew that there was anybody around her. And that's why we went ahead and gave her a red check and said, you know, I gave her a tip of the pistol and it was on my way.
Well, what does that mean? The red check is the plug gets pulled?
That was our assessment, yes, sir. That was our assessment.
Did you talk to her?
We got her name. And
did she give you her name?
Well, in that case, a lot of these people will say hi, and they give you Helen, and they don't give you a last name. But we can figure where she lives, what her last name is. See, you feel that this is intrusive.
I think that it's a little intrusive if you're following an elderly woman. Then you put a red check next to her, and you say you are going to make that decision.
I'm going to take this information to the hospital where she eventually is going to wind up. Because this is the tragedy of old age, Phil. I didn't make this world. That woman is bound to fall downstairs. She's bound to fall down a flight of stairs. I don't know what. And then there's going to be a hospital visit, and they're going to need someone there to say, here's the information on her. And as far as we were able to determine, she is probably at some point going to need to have those life-supporting services suspended.
As far as you are concerned?
That is correct, yeah.
All right.
Because, again, there's only one out of four elderly going to need these care decisions. What are we going to do? There's no family around there.
Well, when you say that you're looking at this old lady and you have decided that you got to pull the plug on her, and that's not for a while, it all seems, I guess, very mechanical, you know?
Well, I know, Phil, but we have to be efficient, and I didn't make this world, and I'm not the one that left that poor woman to wander a supermarket by herself, holding a box of dried noodles, and that was it. She was there for an hour.
877-877, need care decisions made for them. Here is Sharon. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Yes, hi. Phil?
Hi.
I cannot believe the trash coming from this guy's mouth. I'm sorry. I'm listening to you from Rhode Island, and I've listened to you many times and enjoy your show. And
thank you.
Basically, if he was to track me over the last 5 years, he would put me down. Friends and family.
What? You're not elderly. You don't sound elderly to me. Let's talk about seniors. Senior citizen.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, if he's tracking the elderly for this, I mean, what to say his group isn't going to say, okay, with this new medical plan and we need to save money where we can, we'll just stop treating and you know, make plans for people as they get younger. In my case, I'm in my 40s. I'm still working. I work a full-time job. But there are
what about that, Jake?
Well,
we're not doing well.
I don't know. Exactly. I'm going to look at you. And if you fall down and you break your leg, or I know you're a young woman, but at what point do you decide that you're really not any good for anything? I'm not going to say any good for anything, but at what point do you decide you're not really any good to anybody? You know, do you want to make that decision? Do I make that? How do you do that?
Well, she makes the decision. She's a young woman, all right?
She's a young woman now, yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry, ma'am. I interrupted.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If I'm, you're saying, you don't know if these people have family members. Well,
exactly.
Why wouldn't it be their family who takes care of them? Their family that has to make the decision.
That's a very good point. But what if the family's not there? What if I happen to be at the hospital and the family's 200 miles away? I don't know where they are. If you, even a young woman like you, were to fall down and you're already, I think you mentioned you're already handicapped. Do I say, well, I'm the only one here. I'm Jay Sanders. I took down Sharon's information. As far as I could tell, she needs, you have to suspend life support.
Well, wait. You're talking about a young woman here.
But she made the point that she's not doing too good. Or do you feel that you're like what we call pre-senior? Sharon?
Yeah, I have things set up myself because, you know what? My mother is also handicapped, and she has the beginning of Alzheimer's.
Right.
And seeing as how there's Alzheimer's on both sides of the family, I have to take her medical care in my hands, and at some point, someone will have to do it for me. I know this because I've taken the test and I carry the gene.
Do you feel tapped out right now, though?
What do you mean, tapped out?
You feel as if she's ready. Well, you know what I'm saying.
No, actually,
she's
not. I don't.
Are you saying that she's ready to die?
Yeah, that's all I'm asking. Is she ready? Are you ready to die? No.
Oh, no, I'm nowhere near ready to die. In fact, I get up every morning, and
I work at
one of the biggest and largest banks in the country and provide financial information to people.
Well, that's pretty good.
And then one of the top producers.
Right.
So
but
I have
you get
a brain, a mouth.
Let's not use. This is a woman in her 40s, so she's not tapped out, as you put it.
That's a medical term. I didn't mean to say. But Sharon's going to need to make a decision sooner or later for the mother who's got Alzheimer's. And I'll tell you a story, Sharon, and this is very sad. I walked into a home where an old lady was boiling her own underwear, if you can believe that. And when I asked her, what are you doing? She said, I'm making soup. And what do you say then? You say, you know, she's tapped out.
All right, hold on. Sharon, thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL, boiling her own underwear. We'll be back. Jay Santos, 1 in 4 elderly need care decisions made for them. Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police and Phil Hendry Show.
Woo! Phil Hendry.
She's tapped out.
Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about as we speak tonight to Jay Santos. He's with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. This is a, you don't like me calling it a volunteer police agency.
We've always said, Phil, that we are an auxiliary, and that's all that really needs to be said. We're an auxiliary police agency.
And you are amassing information from senior citizens as to their physical condition, their health, their state of mind, so that you can know what to do with them when those end-of-life decisions come.
Phil, look, if I could interrupt you for just a moment.
Go ahead.
Healthcare costs are skyrocketing. Everybody knows it. And it doesn't really look like, I don't know, but to me and a lot of people who observe the news, it doesn't look like Obama's going to make this healthcare plan stick. I don't know. They're looking to repeal it. So we're going to have to do our part, and we're going to have to encourage a lot of these doctors, and I have interviewed a lot of these senior citizens, encourage these doctors to try to, if we can, keep the cost low. I'm not saying that we want our senior citizens to be uncomfortable, but we do have to make these very quick diagnoses. I'm talking to someone, I talked to a lady yesterday. She was very irritable. She didn't want to talk to me. She was very rude. We'll put down, which I think is, I don't think there's anything wrong with writing down that that's a woman who's probably going to need restraints when she is in a facility. Some old man who's very talkative, is it that much of a step to say that he probably is going to need some sort of psychiatric care? And on it goes. You know, we have these old gentlemen who we call the tiny steppers. These are the guys that have no real flexibility in their legs. These guys are going to be tapped out. We talk about tap out.
When you say tapped out, are you saying these are people that are going to have the plug pulled?
That's my anticipation, right. But again, healthcare costs are going to go through the roof, and we've got to do something to keep it down.
877-876-PHIL with Jay Santos here. Let's go to another phone call tonight. We have Rita in Lewisburg, Tennessee. Rita, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Jay Santos.
Hi, Phil. How are you tonight?
Yes, ma'am. I'm good. Thank you.
This guy is barbaric. If anybody needs to be put in a mental institution, he does. He sounds
I'd love
like
for you to tell me why, ma'am. I'd love for you to tell me why.
How old are you?
I'm 37 years old, ma'am.
Well, you wait till you get to be 70 or 80 and somebody is making the decision whether you're going to live or whether you're not going to live. And you are talking like a Hitler. And you said...
That's ridiculous.
Can I talk, Phil?
Yes, let the lady talk.
I'm not going to let her call me Adolf Hitler. Everyone knows what he did.
All right, I understand. But let the lady make her point.
You're trying to make a perfect society, and I mean... you know, just because somebody's old does not mean they do not have plenty to offer in this world. And the elderly can teach the young people what they know. They have much to offer, even if they're sitting in a wheelchair. And if the person's tapped out,
there's no way. If the man's tapped out,
this man is crazy.
Well, what do you do with an elderly person who says don't teach
me? No wonder the woman got irritable with him. He needs to be, somebody needs to come and lock him up. What
ma'am,
kind of auxiliary is this?
I will tell you, ma'am, if a man is tapped out, what are you going to learn from him?
Well, when you say tapped out, are you saying he can't speak?
Well, if a guy tapped out, what are you going to learn from a guy that's tapped out? That's my question, Mr. Henry. Tapped to the guy is ready to shuffle off. I don't want to. You want me to use the word?
You are insane.
Do you want me to use the word?
Somebody needs to shuffle.
Are you talking about if the man is dead? Is that what you're saying?
If he's ready to die, if he's ready to shuffle, yes. What are you going to learn from a man who is in a sealed container?
If he's in a coma, but he said this man sitting in the wheelchair, you were going to send him to a mental hospital. I mean, because he talked and had conversation. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Let me ask a question here, if I could.
People in wheelchairs have very much love to give people, no matter how age they are. A lot of them in wheelchairs are the ones that fought for our country so that we can have freedom, so you can sit there and act like some kind of nut.
Well, ma'am, most of our veterans are treated very well medically, so we don't see a lot of veterans in wheelchairs. The guys that are in wheelchairs from World War I or from Spanish America.
Hold on for a minute. I want to ask a question here, Jay. I want to ask you this question. If a man is talkative and he's a chatty older gentleman, why do you mark him down for eventual commitment to a psychiatric facility?
Well, it's not because he's talkative. It's because he's talkative and he's in a wheelchair. Now, I don't know if this lady or you have ever been in a bar where there's a guy in a wheelchair. That's the guy that starts the fight. Guy in a wheelchair.
My mother was in a wheelchair, and she had plenty to offer.
Did she hang out in bars?
She was a kind, sweet woman. No, she didn't hang out in bars, but you're just going and just talking to people. No wonder the woman was annoyed with you yesterday. You are a nut.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying, Phil, if you go into a bar, the guy in the wheelchair is the guy that's going to start the fight. And now when you got a guy that's talking to
How do you know that, man?
Get out of here. I've been in enough bar rooms. You have, Phil. A guy in a wheelchair, he's the one that's got the gun.
Wait a minute, man. We're not even talking about a guy in a bar. We're talking about an older gentleman who was very affable. He was talking to you. He was friendly.
Exactly.
This man is the one that needs to be put in a mental institution.
Excuse me, ma'am. I'm trying to do something that nobody else is doing. I'm trying to see what we can do for
ourselves. You are crazy. You are
the Obama thing. Obamacare is going to get repealed.
I've never called into one, and I was sitting here listening to this. I didn't know where it was coming from, and I thought,
you know exactly what I talk about. And the man said to me, oh, yeah, I was in the Spanish-American War, and that's when I knew this guy eventually is going to have to be locked up.
Why do you got to lock him up for that?
He's babbling.
First of all, the Spanish-American War, the guy must be...
I could tell you, I'm talking to him about, you know, what hospital do you want to stay in, and he starts blathering on about Cuba, and that's got nothing to do with anything, see? He starts talking to me about the Spanish-American War and blowing up the Maine.
Maybe he's better off the point.
Jay, first of all, and I want to thank you very much, Rita, for your phone call, 877-876-PHIL. First of all, I doubt very much if you were talking to a veteran of the Spanish-American War. Secondly...
Right there, the guy is, I don't want to say cuckoo or however you want to put it.
But the point here is that this guy is just, you were asking about his age, right?
I was asking about his age. I didn't want him to get into his military record from, you know, this guy started talking about the rough, you know, going up a rough ride. Or you're saying he took a rough ride. And I didn't know whether we had one of these don't ask, don't tell. Or
the Rough Riders? You mean the Teddy Roosevelt Rough Riders?
I was not familiar with it. All I know is he said, yeah, I'm rough riding. And I thought, you know, that's his. I'm not going to say he belongs in a mental institution on account of that.
He's talking at the Spanish-American War probably was Teddy Roosevelt and the Rough Riders. What'd you think it meant? That he was gay?
Mr. Henry, we are...
That's what you thought, huh?
We are trying to help this country save money. Obamacare is going to get rolled back. You know it, I know it. She knows it, he knows it. My wife knows it, my kids know it. Guy across the street knows it. When I go to...
All right, I get the idea. It's going to get rolled back.
All right, and we are going to have to find a way to cut these costs.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to another phone call here. I have Lee on the line. Lee, you're on with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Mr. Jay. Could you please tell me what credentials you have to make these decisions?
Well, I'm a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I'm a brigadier, admiral in the organization.
No. What credentials do you have to make these medical and mental decisions?
Well, I like to think that I'm a citizen physician. We have in this country right now a medical establishment that has stolen billions and billions of dollars. And what's going on? I'll tell you what. People are dying.
I have a degree.
I've got in. It's called life. I got a degree in life.
I think the gentleman's at. Do you have any degree, Jay, in anything?
I got a degree in life, Mr. Henry.
I don't want a barber working on my car if he's not a mechanic.
Well, the medical establishment is, do you deny the medical establishment has stolen billions and billions of dollars from American people? Of course you don't deny that. You know that. So we need citizen physicians.
And we don't need a citizen physician doing brain surgery, do we?
I'm not talking about that, Mr. Henry. I'm talking about what do we do with an elderly man who's talking to himself in a wheelchair in a parking lot? Where do we do with an old lady who's walking around a supermarket for an hour with a box of noodles and she forgot why she went in there? Where do we do that? Who's going to do that? Me? You? Me.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Jay. Do you ever forget something early in the morning?
Sir, it's one thing to forget something. It's another thing to boil your own underwear because you're going to make soup. And that's exactly what we saw when we walked into that woman's home 2 weeks ago over here in La Cañada. She's boiling her own underwear. And
what if you forget your keys to your car to go to work?
You know, that's not the same thing at all. You can forget your keys to your car. Oh, wow, I forgot my keys to my car. I'll go back in and get them. But boiling my own underwear, figuring I'm going to sit down and have that for dinner?
Well, maybe she's trying to clean it.
She thought it was, you know.
Well, that is a good point.
It was soup. Soup.
It was soup? Well, maybe she likes
soup. All right. I can tell you're not serious. You know what, sir? I'm doing something. You're sitting on your ass.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more from Jay Sanos.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil, and welcome back. Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Now, this idea of going around and interviewing elderly people and finding out how they are best going to be served when end-of-life decisions come about. Do you ever try to contact members of their family?
Do I ever try to do what?
Do you ever try to contact members of their family so that you don't find yourself making these decisions?
Mr. Henry, I find it very interesting. That people are saying they don't want Obamacare, which I don't blame them. I think Obamacare is very socialism, and I'm not in favor of that at all. But we got to do something because Obamacare which I hope they repeal it. I hope they repeal it. But you know how much these people are going to cost us.
No, my question isn't about Obamacare. It's about, do you contact the families of these people?
I find that it's far more easier to simply do a quick assessment, file a paperwork, tip it a fifth element, I'm on my way. I mean,
Well, what do you call a quick assessment? Why not try to contact the family?
If I see a man, I told you that guy was jabbering on about the Spanish-American War. You're trying to tell me that he belongs. So what would you say? Pull the plug?
No, I'm not saying pull the plug. Why does a man belong in a psychiatric hospital?
Spanish-American War? Come on!
Well, that's what I was saying to you.
I know.
I mean, I was telling you that I didn't think he could be a spend. Doesn't necessarily mean that he's crazy. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Jack. Go ahead, Jack. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. I want to address that idiot you got on the line there. I wonder what part.
Talking about Mr. Hendry?
No, he's talking about you.
No, he's talking about you.
He's talking about you, Mr. Santos.
I'm talking about you, Mr. J. Santos. You are right.
I thought you said the idiot. And I assumed you meant Mr. Hendry.
That's exactly what
it makes. It makes sense.
Shut your mouth and listen.
For health care in America.
Will you let's listen to the guy?
Shut your mouth and listen, man.
Health care in America. I don't let people tell me to shut my mouth. Ordinary.
Well, I've sit here to listen to you rattle like garbage. Let me tell you something. I'm in a wheelchair. I had a stroke 7 years ago. I live by myself.
I cook for myself.
I wash my own clothes. I go wherever I want to go. And
I go all over Nashville.
Anywhere in Nashville, I go to, I'm a season ticket to a hockey team.
There you go.
I've got an IQ of 130. I give 36 years of my life.
How do you have an IQ of 130 and be a hockey fan?
Okay, Jay.
No, I'm being very serious now.
What did he say?
I said, how can you have an IQ of 130 and be a hockey fan? And by the way,
you ain't nothing but an idiot. I spent 36 years of my life in law enforcement. I've got degrees in it. I've got facts and accommodation from every federal unit in the United
States. There you go.
I'm not saying you haven't had a good life, sir, but I am saying it's possible you're tapped out.
I'll tell you what you do. You come to Nashville, Tennessee, and follow me around, and you won't follow me over five steps.
Bring
your little pad and start following me around, and you'll get your interview. Can an idiot understand that? Mr. Hendry,
do you understand, Jake?
Yes, I do, and I'd like to make an assessment right now, this gentleman. Because I've been assessing him while he's been talking to me. He says he goes to hockey. I think he's imagining things because everybody knows what hockey in Nashville is. That
they've had a hockey team in Nashville for a number of years.
Well, I was not familiar with that, so okay.
Since 1998.
Yeah. Nashville, the Predators.
That's exactly
what?
Correct.
The Predators.
That's exactly correct.
Right,
I'll go ahead and do it. All right. Nate says he has an IQ of 139. Well, that's suspect, too. So if this man's delusional...
Why do you think he's delusional? Because he goes to hockey and has a IQ of 139? Why is that delusional?
Because, Mr. Hendry, he's the guy that starts the fight in the bar. He's the guy that starts the fight in the bar.
I don't go to bars. I don't even drink. I don't drink. Haven't smoked a cigarette
in 12
years. I haven't drank a liquor in 12 years.
You're the guy in the wheelchair who insists on using the pool table.
Now, listen, you sound all right to me.
If you can shut up, man.
I don't know where he's qualified to talk.
All right, look, I got to take a break. I think you're very, very healthy, and you sound like a good man there, Jack. And I think that you going to hockey games sounds very, very healthy. And
are you qualified, Mr. Oh, here he is. I'm looking at the TV right now. This Erica Badu. Well, she's got a big butt on her, don't she? And
all right, I don't want to talk about that.
I'm sorry, but it was part of the. We were looking at this today, Phil.
I'm not talking about that, am I?
No, sir, you're not.
We were talking about this gentleman, and you. Okay, so what's your assessment of Jack? He's in a wheelchair. He goes to hockey games. He is a high IQ. He's got a degree.
That's when he wasn't in a wheelchair. All right. Now that he is in a wheelchair, I would, unfortunately, have to recommend him for restraint.
And for restraints?
Yes, because I can see that by the time he gets to be much older, and by the time he has to go, when he is eventually tapped out and he's all in, they'll have to probably tie him down. Now, that's my only concern. And people say, what right do you have? Well, where is his family that's going to make a call like that?
Well, maybe they're around. And I can only hope and pray that they're around, so that you're not around to have the guy put in restraints because he happens to like hockey. Martel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, listening to us on K-Talk in Los Angeles tonight. Martel, go ahead.
Hello. I just got to ask one quick question.
Yes, sir.
Jay.
Jay, you there?
How many people have you disconnected, you know, with your job and all?
You mean hung up on?
Yeah.
Oh, I've hung up on a lot of people.
Do you feel good about it?
Hanging up on people? Yeah, if I have to hang up on them.
I don't think, I think you're talking about something else.
Disconnect them.
Disconnect them from what? Reality?
From the wall, man.
Totally people.
Pull the plug.
Right.
Oh. No, I don't do that. My recommendation would be if a guy's tapped out.
Can we not use that term?
The technical term is,
I don't care. I don't want to use that term.
Well, my recommendation would be that I would recommend that, sir. I've never physically done that myself. Although I have unplugged vacuum cleaners things. I don't know if that's the same thing.
No, that's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing.
One more thing. Do these people that don't get unplugged, do they ever have, like, a proper funeral? You know what I mean? Like,
I hope so.
Or it's like, you know, guys bury a hole in the ground, like, you know, back in World War II, a ditch, just throw the bodies in there and forget about it.
I don't know. With the cost of health care and the expense that goes into, well, I guess it doesn't cost that much to dig a hole.
No, it doesn't cost that much to dig. Thank you very much, Martel. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Jay Santos, and he's making sure nobody's tapped out. We'll be back coming up next on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, Art Griego.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Barack Obama's natural inclination is caution. That's often very good in a diplomat.
I take phone calls all the time. I took phone calls with small business owners.
I'm proud to be here with people who understand us. I'm proud to be here with people who understand.
I love the game of basketball.
Almost as big as me.
I like Wiener.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. This is Right Wing Radio, and every night we take it places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. Is using a taser considered torture? Well, it is by some. Civil rights groups in San Francisco sure think so, and they want to keep officers from utilizing the device. Tonight we're going to be talking with a Bay Area activist, Dean Wheeler, from the Northern California Holistic Center. A meeting of Bay Area activists has just broken up there, and we'll talk with Dean direct on our newsmaker line in just a moment about this story. Taser debate reignites for San Francisco police. Civil rights group alleges tasers are torture. Our number is 877-876-7445, 877-876-Phil, and of course our website, philhendryshow.com. To enjoy our website, get a backstage pass. You have access to thousands of hours of archived material, a daily podcast of every single show that you can sign up for on our website, and you get it via iTunes. Also our classic podcasts, also our every single solitary night video cast, which is also available on demand for 5 days, and our news feed, and the comments section, and email to me and from me. all there at philhenryshow.com, so check it out. The San Francisco Police Commission this week will once again discuss arming officers with tasers nearly a year after the commission shot down a previous proposal to explore that possibility. We have on the line with us from the from Mill Valley right now is Dean Wheeler, joining us from the Northern California Holistic Center. And Dean, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Phil, considering.
What do you mean, considering?
Well, we're disappointed, obviously, in the decision by the police commission. We felt that had we been heard, we would have been able to sway them. This is now going to be a open debate, a public debate, and a debate that is going to take up San Franciscans and the time of Bay Area residents better spent on more constructive things.
Well, the police commission voted 4-3 last March against a proposal by then police chief George Gascon to study the use of taser stun guns by the department. Already, local community groups are asking the commission to nix any idea of using tasers in the city. Since the March vote last year, three new members have been appointed to the commission, and interim police chief Jeff Godown, or whatever. How do you pronounce his name?
Godown.
Godown, really?
Yes.
Who took over as the chief of the police department when Gascon was named San Francisco District Attorney, is hoping the commission's new makeup will result in a different approach to the taser issue. So the police want these tasers. Why are you against them?
Well, we're against any use of any implement that we think is designed primarily to deliver a pain response that is extended, that is a chronic extension of pain in order to direct movement or behavior. We consider that torture, and we certainly do not consider that to be within the purview or the confines of police department decorum. I think that it is.
Now, how do you know, when you say torture, let's talk about this for a second, okay?
Well, allow me to say one thing, Phil, before we discuss anything. I know you want to talk about it, but before we talk about it, I want to get a couple of other points out, and maybe the discussion will take a different tack. When you shoot someone with a taser, it is a very normal and, I think, a very human response, if I'm the one using the taser, to be curious about how it works, to be curious about how much of a charge it gives off, and to be curious, certainly, as to how much the human being hit with a taser will be compliant. It plays on, in other words, Phil, our, the worst angels of our nature. It plays on the instinct that every human being has to use an item like that and to play God, if you will. We don't want to tempt any human being into wanting to play God. And that's what we think the taser does.
Okay, I'm not sure I follow you.
Well, it's like...
Well, but hold on. I'm not sure I follow you there, but let's just... for the moment, let that be a part of the discussion. Now, the upcoming vote at this week's San Francisco Police Commission would not authorize the use of tasers, but would give the police department permission to go back and research the feasibility, the cost, the training, and all other aspects of putting together a pilot program. After conducting initial research, the department would then have to go back to the commission at a later date. So this has not been legalized.
No, it's not been legalized, but we do not want to wait 1 second, not one extra minute, while the use of taser is still feasible. I know from the citizen involvement program, the citizen test program, we're fully aware of what will happen if we give tasers to...
Tell me about the citizen test program.
Well, that was a program that we were involved in with the police commission. We asked, and they very graciously assented, which I was surprised at, because every time we deal with the police, they're very hostile. It's not any, I don't think it's any secret that the police are hostile. And they've been hostile to us because we keep an eye on them. But when they let us test the tasers, it suddenly occurred to me that it was an enjoyable experience. And I immediately went to Chief Godown And I said, I've devoted my entire life to peace and to creating a peaceful world and a peaceful community. This is what I'm about, Phil, and this is what our teachings are about at our hermitage. And for me to take a taser and enjoy the idea of shooting it and electrocuting a human being, I knew that there was something fundamentally wrong with that weapon. It played on the very negative aspects and the negative humors and ethers. It played on what we call in yoga a negative prana, which is life force. And you're familiar with karma. And
all right, well, you're talking about a lot of yogic things here.
Yogic things. These are very real experiences. I am a man who voted for Barack Obama. I'm a man who has voted the Green Party over the last 20 years. I voted Peace and Freedom Party before that. I was a part of some of the biggest anti-war demonstrations that this nation has ever seen in San Francisco during Vietnam and during the Iraq War. I have tied myself to Redwoods to keep logging from Northern California. I have done everything to protect life, and yet when I was allowed to use that taser, I got a thrill. The very idea that I was able to shoot these darts into a human being, I got a thrill. If I got a thrill, that means that anyone, any human being, is not only going to enjoy it, they could enjoy it in ways that would be very, very destructive. No. Phil, we can't allow that.
Well, now, Dean, with all due respect, because you use this taser and you got a thrill out of using it, how do you know other people are going to react that way?
Because I've devoted my entire life to peace. I've devoted my entire life to nonviolence. I have devoted...
Well, but with all, again, with all due respect, are you that nonviolent?
Yes, I am most certainly... Hold on. Yes, I am most certainly nonviolent. I am using the phone right now. Yes, I am most certainly nonviolent. And I am very disturbed by the intimation. I am going to go back and tell you. I was a part of one of the largest anti-war demonstrations that this country has ever seen, the 1967 march in New York. I was there in Berkeley at the People's Park. I was there, at a variety of demonstrations for homeless. So I don't know what you're trying to say.
What I'm saying is, and I'm sorry I put it indelicately. If you, a man who's devoted himself to human rights issues, very much a liberal, very much a progressive, and that's not bad, if you really believe what you believe, and then you get a thrill out of using a taser, what did you use the taser on?
We used it on a... God forgive me, we used it on a dog. God forgive me.
And you enjoyed it?
Hold on for just a minute. Anyone would enjoy it. That's why I...
Did you tase this dog as part of the police program?
You know something, Phil?
Did you tase a dog as part of the police program?
I tased the dog as part of... The police told us to use it. And so I shot a dog that had come across the target area.
Well, what were you supposed to be shooting?
Well, they had targets set up.
Were they living creatures?
They were not, no. But that's what I'm trying to tell you. I am the most liberal and progressive person you are ever going to meet in your life. And yet when I held a taser and I saw a dog, I had a feeling that was so overpowering that I wanted to tase that dog. Now that, Phil, is dangerous because, again, I was at the largest anti-war demonstration, et cetera, et cetera. I could give you my credentials.
I got to tell you, that is...
No, hold on. Don't begin. You're not going to judge me. I have been opposed to I've been opposed...
No, that's the... Was the dog okay? Please tell me the dog was all right.
Of course the dog was all right. Of course it was all right.
All right, so... You tased a dog. The dog was okay. You're against the use of tasers. Why?
Huh?
What? You just told me you tased the dog. It was okay. You're against the use of tasers. Why? Because they give you this power or because they hurt creatures?
because they give you a sense of an exuberance when you use it. When you use a taser on another living creature, there is an exuberance that I felt, and anyone would. If I feel it, you've got to listen to me, Phil, because you've mischaracterized what I've said. And
I'm listening to you, Dean.
All right. If I felt it, and I have been involved in the advanced arts of holistic healing, homeopathy, the peace movement, and yet I got a thrill out of tasing a dog, imagine what a cop, a guy who's a cop, they are born to enjoy that kind of thing.
You know, you are now beginning to, you're disparaging cops to make yourself look good, you know?
No, I am not.
Yeah, you are. You're disparaging cops and saying they're born to like that. You, on the other hand, you're a peaceful guy, and you got a thrill out of tasing a dog, so imagine what a cop would do. I find that disingenuous. I find it slanderous.
You find it slanderous.
I think you're slandering the police, and I think you, with your comment there, I believe in controlling criminals. I believe in using tasers. I believe in the death penalty. But I sure don't want any cops out there who are getting a thrill.
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Okay?
Which means to me that I wouldn't want to see you be a cop.
No. Any person using a taser will get this kind of thrill. Please believe me.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center, who claims to be a man of peace, a man who teaches homeopathy, a man who teaches yoga, a man who is an anti-war demonstrator, used a taser on a dog because he said that's what weapons do to the average person. They turn us into people who get a thrill out of pain. And we're talking about tasers. Are they? I can't get over tasing the dog is the thing that just... The animal's okay. Mr. Wheeler, he can explain himself some more. He does say, though, that tasers are torture. Do you believe they are? 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. World famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Whatever else, tasing a dog.
You're making this all about that.
Well, I want to find out more about this. As you, we're talking to Dean Wheeler here on the Phil Henry Show. He and other members of the Northern California Holistic Center and other activists in a citizens program tested the use of a taser. You're against it, Dean, because you say it's torture. But in doing that, you tased a dog, and you said that you had a good or a sense of power.
No, I didn't feel. I felt it was very addictive. There's no question it was very addictive. And I did not want to tase that dog, but the enjoyment I got out of it made me realize that making tasers legal for the police is bad. I went home with that taser as part of the citizen program, and I asked my wife, Emeralda, we need to test this on a living creature. Now, we just tased a dog out of the San Francisco police range, and she was very upset. I was very upset too, but I was attracted to it. I said, would you submit to allowing me to tase you? And she said yes. And I was about to, and then she went back on her word. And I have, like anyone, I have a big issue with people going back on their word. And so I went ahead and tased her anyway. You can question my...
Oh, boy.
You can question my methods. But her reaction, again, gave me this sense of empowerment. Phil, do you understand? I'm a very evolved person. Do you understand what this will do in the hands of someone who's not as intelligent?
You tased your wife and you tased a dog, and both times, neither creature, your wife or the dog, wanted it to happen. Here is Julie in Akron, Ohio.
That is not true, sir.
Yes, it most certainly is true. Julie in Akron, Ohio, go ahead, please.
I wanted to comment on him tasing the dog. Why couldn't you have tased a living person who could consent to it instead of a defenseless animal who had no say-so in it?
It's a very good question, Julie. All I can tell you is it's the reason why I'm opposed to tasers in any form.
You just said that you were, like, how are you opposed to it? You just said you were addicted to it. Like, so are you going to go out, like, abusing animals now? How are you
opposed to it? I am against it because that's what it will do. If it did that to me, it could do it to you. It could do it to
me. But you just said that you were addicted to it, right?
I found it to be an empowering thing. That's why I don't want to use it.
In other words, it's like a drug.
In many ways, like a drug, yes.
And you think that this is going to happen to Julie, to me, to police chief of San Francisco?
Phil, I have been practicing yoga my entire life.
You've told me all about your yoga and your peace-loving ways, but...
Where do you get the gall to talk down to me?
You tased a dog, man, and you did it and even had the gall to say it gave you kicks.
I did not say those words at all.
Well, we can ask Julie.
That's
what did it sound like to you?
That's animal abuse, and you can get charged for that, criminally.
Yes, you can.
For things like that.
Did you do that? Did the police see you do that?
The police were not on the range at the time.
And Julie asked the question, why not use a human being?
Absolutely, and I think Julie's question is an excellent question. That's why I went home with the device and asked my wife to submit to a tasing so I could see what happens to a human being. Emerald said
that she
would.
And you did it anyway, even though she didn't agree to it, right?
She said yes at once, and then she changed her mind.
So then why did you do it?
I don't understand why I'm being put down for this.
It hurts, you know? You put somebody through pain, and, you know, you basically electrocuted somebody who wasn't willing to test it.
But she went back on her word. She said that she would.
So she said then that she wouldn't. So she didn't go back on... She went... What do you mean her word, man? That's not something... That's not like a binding contract. Yeah, sure, you can tase me. On second thought, no, I don't think I'd like you to do that. That looks like it hurts. I'm scared. No, I don't want you to do that. Can't you conceive of a human being doing that?
And your wife said that.
Well, then why would she say yes and get me worked up? And
see, this is what I'm saying, man. You sound so really sick.
No, no, wrong. You two would exactly react the same way. And Julie, you, who's all about this dog, if you'd been out on that range that day, you would have had a smile on your face, too.
Did you smile when you...
I would have found a person who was willing to do it. I've seen it happen on TV. I've seen people, say that they'll go through it.
Right.
Could have found anybody to do it, not a harmless, not a defenseless, or your
so
wife.
Easy to say. This is so unfair. It's so easy to say.
No, the answer is no.
Don't do things if you are embarrassed to admit to it. I mean,
I'm not embarrassed. I'm saying you were embarrassed to admit to it because you would have gotten your thrills.
Well, that's not what she's saying. That's not what I'm saying. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The taser, is it so addictive that you'll tase an animal, even if you're a guy like Dean Wheeler who's peace-loving? We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
So dishonest.
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is Dean Wheeler from the Northern California Holistic Center. We're talking with Dean about something that people in San Francisco are concerned with and are interested in, and that is the use of tasers by the police. Now, I know that you were waiting this vote by the police commission. You were part of a citizen group that was using or testing tasers. You've already admitted to tasing a dog, and you have said...
You know, the use of the word, you just said you've admitted to tasing a dog as if I'm... Phil, I'm not a police officer. Think about cops. Think about prison guards. These individuals, while doing a necessary job, have personalities that are far more prone to enjoying using one of these. Now, we have the recording of me coming out of the house. You have that?
Yes, and this is one that I don't even know that the audience wants to hear.
Well, you said you wanted it.
All right, this is Mr. Wheeler coming out of his house into his garage where you saw a gardener?
Yes. This is one of the, well, it was part of one of the crew that takes care of the hermitage, a gentleman by the name of Reuben. And he was putting gasoline into a lawnmower. I walked out, I saw him, and I honestly couldn't help myself. And this is, I walked out, I saw him, I lifted the taser, and I fired.
Oh, my God.
5 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Yes, yes. And imagine in the hands of a cop.
In the hands of a cop, I'm not worried about. It was in your hands. You did that to a man with his back to you. You tased a dog.
Phil, if I knew I was going to be attacked, and
I'm saying to you that you tased a dog, you went home, your wife refused, you tased her, and then with that man's back to you, as you walked into your parking garage or wherever you were, you tased him. And record. What prompted you to record it?
Because I knew I was going to be on your program tonight.
And why didn't you record your wife?
Because she lied to me and said...
No, she didn't lie. She said that she didn't want to be tased by you. Thanks very much. And you went ahead and did it anyway. Mindy in San Antonio, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dean Wheeler. Go ahead, please.
Yes. My question is, if he wanted to see what it was like to be tased, why didn't he set up a video camera and tase himself?
Well, that's not very intelligent. I mean, who wants to do that to themselves?
Well, you did it to your wife. If you were my husband, I would have turned you into the police for abuse.
Wait a minute. You agreed to be tased.
And then she said she didn't want to be tased.
She went back on her word. Okay.
What kind of a husband purposely hurts their spouse?
I did not hurt my... Imelda's been my soulmate since before we were born, and we have been involved in many different wonderful projects. She understands. She knew that I wanted to keep these weapons out of the hands of these sadistic people.
And you're a sadistic person. You're a sadistic person. You're the one that turned around and purposely tased two people.
I'm saying to you, Mindy, that you. I'm saying that you would do the same thing if you had a taser in your hands.
Would Mindy walk into a parking garage as you did, and with someone's back to her, she'd tase them?
Yes.
You're saying that, but you don't know that. The only guy that we have proof of doing that is you.
You have police officers all over this country who've tased people. I have gone out of my way to create peace and harmony, not to do bad things.
All right. Is this going out of your way to creating peace and harmony?
Would you please not play that anymore?
Well, is that going out of your way to creating peace and harmony?
You know something? I'm going to lay my cards on the table. If Mindy wants to hear this, she can. If she doesn't, she doesn't have to. I'll lay my cards on the table. I needed to tase a human being. Reuben is not legal. Okay?
What's that got to do with it?
Well, I think you can understand.
No, I think I understand. So if the man died of a heart attack, big deal, no one would know.
Mr. Henry, I have supported life...
If the man died of a heart attack, no one would know.
I've supported life my whole life.
But this time you had such a thrill tasing people, you tased a man with his back to you, and because he was an illegal, you figure if he dies, what were you going to do with him?
No, I...
Boy.
What I'm trying to say to you and to Mindy both, this will happen to you. As God is my witness, and I never thought I believed in God before until now. I do believe in God now. I believe in the Christian God. And I used to believe in an Eastern God. But as God, the Christian God, is my witness, Mindy, this weapon would turn you into a Ravensbrook guard. Into nothing more than one of those women in leather boots and a heavy wool coat. You know, Mindy?
I beg to differ with you, sir. I would sooner have police officers have these tasers than a gun, because a taser doesn't normally kill a person, where with a gun they could kill someone.
But the thrill that you get out of using it. See, you guys aren't even listening to me.
We're listening to you, but we think that we're coming to a different conclusion than you. Thanks very much, Mindy, for your call. 877-876-7445. Thank you, ma'am. Let me go over to Joe in Chattanooga, Tennessee. Joe, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Dean Wheeler.
Hey, Phil. Thanks a lot for having me on there.
Depression?
Yes, sir.
First of all, this guy you're talking to here, is he the head of some kind of association or some kind of a group or something?
Yes, I'm with the Wheeler Hermitage and the Northern California Holistic Center. We are social activists in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay.
Okay.
And we oppose the San Francisco police having these weapons. We oppose them having tasers. We oppose them having tasers. Yes.
Okay. Well, I guess you're aware of the three officers that have been taken down in St. Petersburg, Florida, within the last 30 days. So, I mean, how do you expect an officer to protect themselves? I mean, in different situations, you've got people that are approaching these officers with weapons. You've got people that sometimes try to make believe that they approach an officer with a weapon. They get put in some pretty particular situations.
We've had a lot of police officers in the last, sorry to interrupt you, Joe, but we've had, since the beginning of the year, we've had an inordinate number of police officers killed in the line of duty. I mean, it could be the economy, could be a lot of things, but cops are being targeted.
Well, I don't know what I'm supposed to do about that, you know.
Why give them the weapons that they need, tasers to restrain or to contain a situation?
If they draw a firearm and they shoot somebody, okay, now they're in a situation to where they're going to lose their job and they're going to go to prison. And, I mean, that's the way it works. Okay, but you got this guy here that supposedly is on a range with a taser, okay? And all of a sudden a dog happens to walk in the way, and you can't react fast enough to either stop yourself or fire in a different direction, okay? What's up with that? And then you shoot a defenseless man in the back. Okay, you don't even ask him for permission to try this out. No, you just take it upon yourself. Oh, the God-fearing man that sits there, and you say that you've done these things at Berkeley, and you stood for righteousness and people's welfare. But where are you coming off of this crap? I mean, who do you think you are? You're a sick individual. You don't need to be the leader of anything.
Excuse me, sir, but you don't know my life. I'm telling Mr. Henry.
No, I don't want to know your life. I've heard enough about your life. You're demented. Sick individual. You have no business being the leader of anything, and you have no business of having a taser in your hand. I mean, if anything, somebody needs to take suit against you for shooting that dog.
Yeah, what about that? Yeah, someone ought to sue you.
Have the right or the knowledge of doing it. He needs to get some help and get some help and do something about you, buddy. You're sick.
He's not going to do anything. He's an illegal immigrant. And as to your other points,
should I make him any unhuman?
Exactly. You know, for a guy that's
human, sir. Is he
no, it does not.
It, does he bring
no, he is
not.
Well, yes, I'm an American citizen. He wasn't.
It doesn't matter.
How are you so progressive, and at the same time how are you so progressive, and at the same time you talk that way about a Mexican immigrant?
You know as well as I do that I am saying to both of you men something that you can't accept, and that is this. In the hands of a lesser person, and yes, I do think I'm evolved. In the hands of a lesser person, such as yourselves, you guys would go on a tase joyride that might never end. We'd hear about Joe and Phil going back and forth across the country on a joyride with a taser.
So in other words, where you tase a dog, me and Joe, we'd go out and tase little kids.
I'm afraid so.
Well, you know what? That's easy to say.
Buddy. Let me tell you something. I'm operating an 80,000-pound truck right now, okay? If I want to go out of my mind and get nuts, I'll tell you what, I can do a hell of a lot more with this truck than I can that taser. No, I think I can maintain my control. I'm sorry, I don't think you can. Phil, thanks a lot. I appreciate
you taking the time
to take me out of here.
Well, thank you, sir.
I don't agree. I think that what that man doesn't want to recognize, where's the caller?
I hung up on him. He wanted to go.
Oh, my God. You know, I can't defend myself. I can't.
Dean, you don't sound like a guy that's in very much control of anything, all right? You're saying that the taser is such an attractive and such an alluring experience that we would want to take tasers and go on some tase joyride, tasing people all over the country.
And now you laugh at me. Now you laugh. I'm not allowed to defend myself. And now I'm being laughed at.
You tase a man in the back. You tase a dog. You tase your wife. You tell us anybody would do that and worse. You tell us that you are strong. And because you're strong, you only tased your wife and an innocent man and a dog. Other people like me, Joe, all of my callers, all of my audience, my God, we might tase people to death. We'd be so attracted to the torture aspects of a taser that no, regular people shouldn't have it. Cops shouldn't have it. Thank God you, Dean Wheeler, tested it out for us. Is that what you want me to say?
Not with sarcasm, no.
No, not with sarcasm. You want me to say that seriously, don't you?
Are you trying to tell me that it's any... Are you disagreeing with that?
You better believe I'm disagreeing with it. I'm saying there's something wrong with you. Here is Clay in Lafayette, Georgia. Go ahead, Clay. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to...
Yes, sir.
Let me preface my comments first with saying that I do have previous law enforcement experience. In Georgia, yes, sir. I was a Georgia State Trooper, retired sergeant with them. I never carried a taser, but most of our troopers did, and some of the things that they did, anyone that carried one, just so folks would know this, in Georgia at least, anyone who carries a taser, an officer has to have it used on them. That's part of the training. So they will experience, yes, sir, they will experience. And I think Taser International actually recommends that training.
Oh, my God, that's ridiculous.
Well,
why would anyone do
that? Let me say this. What it gives officers is it gives them a less lethal or an option other than deadly force in physical confrontations. Mm-hmm. Anything can be misused, and no doubt there would be cases where it was. But I can tell you that any Georgia State Trooper that ever shot their wife or a dog or a man working in their garage or yard would be terminated on the spot and probably prosecuted. And that's how us backward folks in Georgia think. You know, we're not from intelligent like you. That's how we think.
I don't understand why I'm not allowed, in the name of justice, and consider who I taste, a dog. I love animals, but if you're going to experiment, why not a dog? Then my wife, who said yes, and then no. So that's really on her.
Well,
okay.
Why not at least... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, my gardener, you've got a point.
Got a point? Tase a guy in the back and he doesn't even know. I'll bet you he thought he was having a heart attack or something.
He was fine.
God.
Another thing, I mean, we wouldn't... I know that anyone that would have the mentality to do what you described doing and not be man enough to at least try it on yourself if you want to see if it's torture or if you want to see it for yourself, then
well,
have someone
ridiculous.
Expose
do you
to it.
Do you
know
what's ridiculous
to me is that you would shoot
you
your wife and a man
gun.
That's working in your yard and a dog and then generalize everybody else as being so unintelligent that they would abuse the taser.
Right.
And you're the one that's
right.
Best doing it on national radio.
Yeah, you don't understand that...
You know, Mr. Henry, you keep butting in. If you gave me half a chance, I could debate your callers and win.
Oh, get out of here. What you're doing here is you're... This man made the point. Every single thing that you're afraid will happen to the rest of humanity has happened to you. Nobody else is out there tasing dogs and their wives and strangers. You are.
What about the police?
What about the police? Man, I haven't heard of one person... In the last 4 years, I know of one fatality with a taser, and that was in Canada. Those were British Columbia Canadian cops at an airport. I don't know of anybody dying from a taser in the United States. I know of some violent situations where they might have been used and they shouldn't have been used or whatever. But God, I wish that Bay Area cop would have pulled that taser instead of his weapon when he shot that kid. Or do you prefer that he shot the kid?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about that Bay Area cop who shot the kid on New Year's when he was reaching for his taser.
What are you talking
about? Oh, never mind. Listen, thanks so much, Clay. I appreciate your experience and your lending that to the conversation. 877-876-PHIL. How do you pronounce this guy? Masurly. Remember that guy? That guy was, he said he was reaching for his taser, and instead he pulled his service revolver, and he shoots that kid. And the next thing you know, we got hell to pay, and the kid's dead. And Dean, at least they didn't use a taser, man. 877-876-7445 for more of your phone calls. Plus, still to come tonight, the News Hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
We'll be right, okay, we got Dean Wheeler with us. Our News Hour coming up next. I want to get to another phone call here. We have Darren in Flagstaff, Arizona. As we talk about tasers, should the San Francisco police have them, and should police officers have them? Go ahead, Darren.
Yeah, I was a correction officer for 3 years in Carlsbad, New Mexico.
You know, sir.
Like the other gentleman said there that you have to get trained with it and stuff, and I got trained with pepper spray. Now, I know I've been electrocuted before when I was a young kid, 17, 18 years old, and I didn't like that taser, but I would never, never in my life think about spraying a dog or anything with that pepper spray, and that hurt worse than that taser did. And this guy, I think, needs some psychiatric help, and I sure wouldn't want him watching my kids. That's just the way I feel about it.
I understand that, but what I was trying to say is you got electrocuted. You weren't tased. If you had a taser, and you were a corrections officer, so you must have had one, you know what I mean, the great feeling of power that you get, right?
Yeah. No, he doesn't know what you mean. Nobody understands what you're saying, Dean. No, he doesn't. And that man worked corrections, so he's around convicts.
Would you let him answer and not you answer?
All right, I'm sorry. Darren, did you feel empowered by your taser?
No, listen, I've been electrocuted by a taser when I was younger. I was a wild guy, when I was growing up. And I would never, if I would have a taser in my hands right now, I would not even electrocute my neighbor. I wouldn't electrocute my dog. I would think twice about pepper spraying him. I've been pepper sprayed.
Why not?
And I would never, never in my life do that to somebody. In the 3 years that I've worked in the correction department, I've been certified in 13. And I would let somebody else do it because I did not want to do that to somebody, especially your
My son, I can do it with my son.
No, there's no way now I would go around doing that.
Well, my son got a hold of the taser, and I told him that you're not allowed to use that because I knew what it was doing to me. It was drawing me into a world of pure sadism. And my son insisted on using the taser, and fortunately I got it away from him. But I punished him, and I tape recorded it. And I guess you guys will think this is wrong. I waterboarded my own son.
You want to die?
Well, here it is.
Oh, my God. Why would you do that?
Because he got a hold of...
He got a hold of your taser, so you waterboarded your son.
Yes, I waterboarded my son after... See, it happened after I did this. All right, that's the gardener. And then my son went, huh, that's really bitching, Dad. I get really...
It's 5 seconds of the worst pain that I...
What is that?
I don't know. What was that?
I don't know. What was that? World-famous Phil Hendry Show, and is our caller... No, he's gone, and I don't blame him. We'll be back with our News Hour next hour, Phil Hendry Show.
No, I know what I said. I said to my son, and then...
Phil Hendry.
Ow.